As the word of God continues to be heard from us from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Notice the last words of Jesus in our text. "And you will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is a reference to Jacob. And this is a theme that's kind of running through all of our readings. We go one place and find out that we're in the wrong place. Or we're trying to find the answer in point A when God has provided the answer at point B. Amen. And so Jacob is running for his life from his brother. He's running away from home, not because he wants to, but because he has to. And in so many ways, he's not running to someplace because he's running away from someplace. How much of our lives are so much the same that we're not running to anything necessarily, but we're running away from something? As a counselor, I constantly find myself dealing with women who married early, sometimes 16, 17, 18, 19. Why? To get out of the house, to get away from mom or to get away from dad, for whatever the reason may be. And literally, they've jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. You know that as well. So they're not going someplace. They're running away from someplace. And I find this very often in my life as a pastor as well. People come to church, people come to Christ, not because they want to be with Christ, not because they plan on going to heaven, not because they want a more intimate relationship with God, but because they want to be cured from this or that, or they want to be saved from this. So they're actually running away from a problem instead of running to the answer. Am I making sense here to you? And that's the theme that's running through. Notice Samuel's running back and forth. And of course, you know, where are you running for comfort? Where are you running for answers? Where are you running for your identity? Prostitution, that's how you do it. The world, the flesh, and the devil, that's how you find yourself? No, you're already found in Christ. And that's exactly the point. What happens with Jacob? Jacob says, "I did not know that God was in this place. I did not know that God was in this place." God is in your husbands. God is in your wives. God is in your children. All those who have been baptized into Christ. Amen. All those who are filled with the Holy Spirit belong to God. Amen.
Amen.
Why are you looking so many other places? God is in this place. God is with us today, in, through, and under bread and wine. He's in the Word. He's in us. The answer is already here. Amen. It's already here. And notice what happens. This is where we begin to have a problem. Notice what happens in our text today with Philip. The Lord, we have it three times the word found. The Lord finds Philip, right? The Lord finds him. According to our doctrine, we cannot be saved under our own power. We're saved by grace alone. No one comes unto the Son unless he's drawn by the Father, right? And Christ finds him. And then he finds the other, right? Notice what is said when he goes finds Nathanael. Notice this. Are you ready? We have found the Messiah. I have found the Messiah. When did he go looking for Jesus? Jesus came looking for him. And all of a sudden he's taking credit for the work of Jesus? We have the entire problem of 2,000 years of Christian history where we take credit for God's work. Amen? And we begin to move astray. We're kind of like Samuel, running in the wrong direction, thinking we're running where we're supposed to, but actually running away from God without really realizing it, because we're not giving Him. What used to be at the foundation of every single church? For the glory of God. You know, we don't do that anymore when we make churches. Have you noticed? The last 60 years, we don't dedicate the founding stone to God. We kind of dedicate it to ourselves. You walk in a lot of our churches, Missouri Synod churches. Oh, this hall is dedicated to so-and-so. This is dedicated to so-and-so. This is and you won't find God's name any place there. Isn't that a sad comment? Sad comment. There was a captain right in the early years, or months, I should say, of the occupation of Japan. And he was in the Army Air Corps. And he was sent there. He never was on the battlefield. He was never in combat, post-combat, and he went there. And he went into his new office, and they had not yet even hung the door on it yet. And in the office were four people. One was a private waiting to see him. One was a corporal, and that corporal was his secretary. And there were two officers, a lieutenant and a first lieutenant and a second lieutenant. And as he walked in, they stood up and they saluted him. He saluted back and he walked into his office, his inner office. And he sat down and he wanted to make a good impression. So he picked up the phone and he pretended to be talking to the colonel. Yes, colonel, good morning. I'm returning your phone call. I'm sorry that I missed it. Yes, yes. What can I do for you, sir? Yes, you would like to have me for dinner? My wife and I to come over for dinner? That's wonderful. We would love to be over for dinner. Yes, yes, Colonel. This is absolute. We will absolutely be there. Now, what time? 7 o'clock? We will be there at 7 o'clock. And what is that, sir? Yes, sir. I do have a few ideas on how we can improve this base. And you would like to hear them? Wonderful. Then I'll be glad to share those with you. And what? What else? You would like to have golf with me? You would like to take me out for golf tomorrow? Oh, I'll make sure my calendar is free and we'll be sure to go. And he hung the phone down. And he said, okay, Corporal, send in the first man. And the private comes in and he comes right to the desk and he salutes. And the officer goes, okay, what can I do for you, son? Well, sir, I'm here to connect the telephone. We're here. We have found the Messiah. It's the same thing, isn't it? We have found the Messiah. Come and see. And Nathanael's response is, what good can come out of Nazareth? And let's switch that and ask, what good can come out of the church? There are millions of Americans who want to be spiritual today. But there are millions more that want nothing to do with religion. It was once said by a communist, if you want to destroy the capitalistic system, kill the lawyers. I have to admit there's some temptation there. Because once you destroy them, you destroy the law, and you destroy the law, you destroy authority, and you have chaos. There are many in America today that the best way of destroying the church is to get rid of all the churches. Is what good could come out of our church? Can't you go up to the woods and hug a tree? Can't you go up to the woods and look at the sky? Can't you go out to your house at night and look at the stars and find God? Who needs the church? What good can come out of the church? What good can come out of Nazareth? And Jesus, and the disciple says, come and see. Come and see. Now, as he's coming, by the way, in our Bible study today, I'm going to give you, this is part one, I'm going to give you part two of this, about what happens underneath that fig tree. I'm going to talk about that very briefly, because it's very powerful and very beautiful. But as he's coming, Jesus says, truly, this is an Israelite. Notice he doesn't say Jew. This is an Israelite. He doesn't say he's the son of Abraham, does he? This is truly an Israelite without deceit in our text. And some of the other texts say without guile. What does that mean? And notice it's within the hearing of Nathanael. And Nathanael goes, okay, what do you mean by that? What does that actually mean? What is being said there? And what's being said is Nathanael knew that nothing good comes from Nazareth. Now, we have that opinion too here in this valley, don't we? Sugarloaf? What good comes out of Sugarloaf? You know, people in Fonskin, nope, Sugarloaf? And then people in Sugarloaf goes, what good comes out of Fonskin? You know, we have our little subsections. And no matter where you are, New York, Chicago, L.A., you have those sections. Well, you don't want to go there. Trailer park trash, the whole thing. You know, that's always the case. We always have people, there's nothing any good any there. No, you don't want to be there at midnight, you know, right? Matter of fact, my wife and I just had a conversation. The last place on earth we want to be is the San Bernardino train station. Late at night. Amen. Yeah, no good is going to come out of that. And so we're constantly doing that. And Nathanael's doing that because Nazareth during the time of Jesus is much like the time, much like Nazareth today. And I've been there. It's much like today. Nazareth, you're not going to like this. Nazareth is much like Big Bear. It's on top of a mountain, just like we are. And people get there to get away from everything else. But it's also people get there because they can't live anyplace else. Nobody can tolerate them. So everything that's negative is an asset. You know, if you're real truly a neurotic and if you're truly self-centered, you do well in Nazareth today. Those are good qualities. Do you see? Down the hill, it might get you killed, but up there, that's good stuff. And so anybody who can't live anyplace else goes up there. Anybody who has a small amount of money opens a business to make money. And they couldn't survive anyplace else, but they do it there. I actually saw 12 little grocery stores right in a row next to each other. And each one was about, not much bigger than this right here. And they're all selling the same stuff. And the flea market is where everybody buys everything. But in Big Bear here, how many businesses have we seen go up and then disappear, right? So it's kind of much the same thing. So Nathanael's question is, what good can come out of Nazareth? I mean, it was a legitimate question. He had a very strong bias. But notice what happens is that the truth is in him. He's open to the truth. He wants the truth. He wants the truth. He doesn't want his answer. He wants the answer. Let me say that again. That's really important. He doesn't want his answer. He wants the answer. And Jesus loves him. Jesus adores him. This man is looking for the truth. And who's Jesus? He is the truth, the way, and the life. Is he going to get his answer? Yes, he is, in Jesus Christ. If you've been called and elected by the Lord, you are seeking the truth. The lie doesn't live in you. You may lie to yourself from time to time, and that's sin, lack of that trust. But that truth lives in you because God lives in you, and God's going to drive you to that truth. How many of us worry about our children or grandchildren? Haven't they been baptized? Haven't they been given God? If they haven't fully rejected God, God will not let them go. Amen. What the Gospel of John, no one takes you out of my hand. Trust him. He will pull them exactly to where they need to be, even if he needs a 2x4. It's going to happen. Amen. Amen. And so what is happening here is Nathanael is willing to see Jesus in spite of his bias. He's absolutely certain that it's a waste of time, but he will take a look. Is it a waste of time to have bread and wine today? What good can come out of bread and wine? Everything. Because God said, this is where you will find me. This is my gift to you. There are times, I know my wife says to herself, what good could come out of this guy? Meaning me. But our marriage continues now well over 30 years because she goes, but God brought him into my life. I'm stuck with him. Something good will happen because God is here. And the same for me with her and my children. For you, amen, as you go through your daily struggles, God is here. God will not forsake you. And our problem with our sin is we tend to run in the opposite direction instead of going to where the answer is. And what does Nathanael do? He goes to where the answer is. Even if he believes there's no answer there, he's still willing to look. Now, all of you know that I'm perfect. Other than Jesus, I'm the best pastor that has ever walked the face of the earth, right? My wife goes, I can't even look at him now. Far from it, amen, far from it. But God is working here among us. You know, what happens is people who've left this church, not for the right reasons, but for the wrong reasons, have left because, well, pastor doesn't agree with my opinion. Pastor doesn't see the things the way I see them. Pastor doesn't seem to teach and preach the way I want him to preach. Pastor comes from Nazareth. Elvis over here. I'm not staying in that church. Elvis is from Nazareth. People like that don't deserve to be in the church I worship in. Do you see what I'm talking about? And what are you saying right away? You're saying, this is the worst possible person in the eyes of Jesus because your bias closes your heart to the truth of God working among us. As a Christian, is there any way I will not find God in Elvis? Even at his very worst, is God going to preach to me and teach to me and comfort me and guide me? Yes. If God is in you, there's no way that's not going to happen. Amen. Nothing happens without the hand of God. I know there are times you go, what are you doing? But that's where our faith comes in, our trust. And that's what's happening now. And Nathanael comes because he believes in the truth. And that truth is not his truth. That truth is outside of him. Let me say that again. That truth is not his opinion. That truth is not, he's not the truth. The truth is out there. And he will find it. And that's what he believes in. And because he believes that he's not the truth, who does he find? Or better yet, who finds him? Jesus. The truth, the way, and the life. Amen.
Amen.